AgBio Science is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
With our experience with AI so far, it really makes the human researcher more powerful. It makes the producer more powerful, and they really need to work together. And if you can work together and harness that ability to look at the data and analyze and build models with the intuitiveness of good human people at the production level and at the research level, the opportunities are limitless. Listen, I think we're going to continue to really open up new solutions, new innovations that go back into One Health.
Welcome to AgBio Science, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
Welcome to AgBio Science. I'm Kayla Chittister here with Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. Hey, really great conversation this week with, well, first of all, Trent Torrence, Chief Operating Officer of United Animal Health, Agrinova's board chair, and just a fantastic human being all around. This conversation goes in so many really, not surprising, but just amazing directions, from their applied research to, it's their 70th birthday this year, which is always fun, to, you know, this connection between animal health and human health. And I'm curious, Eric, you hadn't met Trent until today. Like,
right.
your biggest takeaways about United Animal Health, this conversation in general?
Well, my biggest takeaway from Trent, he's a pretty smart dude.
Really?
He knows his stuff. And United Animal Health, they do a lot more than what it just leads you to believe just hearing their name. They do a lot more than just, you know, livestock feed. It really is interesting to see all the different ways they go, different directions they go. And it was very interesting to hear him talk about the intersection of animal health, human health, this One Health initiative that, you know, Agrinovis is really leading the conversation around here in Indiana. I really found it interesting just bouncing all over the place. He had a lot of different places he could go because United Animal Health is doing so much.
Their footprint is significant globally as well. And I think when you step back and you look at joint ventures and partnerships they have, it's really incredible to see the areas that they touch outside of animal nutrition, whether it's precision fermentation, other areas of their business that are helping the producer in ways that are so innovative and off the cuff, unconventional, and I guess a little bit surprising, that you wouldn't know about if you weren't part of this conversation and didn't do the deep dive that maybe we did today.
And I found it very interesting. He talked about a whole like division of their team that employs a lot of people now that is really focused on that research and where they're going. That was certainly interesting. We touched on AI, the artificial intelligence, that's the one, and how it's not taking over. It's enhancing what his employees are doing. So it really was just a very neat conversation about, yeah, the AI is not taking over the world. It's enhancing what we're doing in the world.
When you look at a company like United Animal Health and the breadth of what they're providing inside that innovation portfolio, it's feed, it's nutrition. There's a lot there. He was talking about all the opportunities within dairy as part of the conversation that extend well beyond nutrition at this point, and ways for those operators to generate revenue now that didn't exist before. Like, what kind of value do you see as somebody that is, you know, in constant contact with producers that, you know, maybe doesn't exist in other companies that does with United Animal Health?
I think when you think about producers, they're tied into their own operation and they're trying to figure out what's going to be best for them. And they have a hard time connecting everything that's out there. They're focused on getting a job done. So a company like United Animal Health might be a bit, I don't know, underappreciated across the industry, because they have so many touch points across the industry. And, you know, I'm not saying the farmers are unappreciative. That's certainly not it. I just don't know that they really think, boy, that's a lot that they do and contribute to the industry. They contribute to, you know, not just the livestock space, but everywhere else. It's really an eye-opening conversation that we have today with Trent.
It always is. From applied research to precision fermentation, 70 years of innovation with United Animal Health. Please enjoy this conversation Eric has with Trent Torrance on Ag Bioscience.
Trent, thank you so much for joining us on Ag Bioscience. We really appreciate you being here. Let's start today's show with just kind of a high-level overview. Share with us the work that you do and your team does with United Animal Health and how you aim to serve people through innovation.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Big fan of the podcast and good to be here with you today. But yeah, I have been with United Animal Health for most of my professional career, 30 plus years. Today, I'm serving as our Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer. And I think to give everybody a little bit of history of the company is kind of good to start where we began. And that was the founding of the company in 1956 by John Swisher as really an organization to serve Midwestern swine producers. There were a lot of options for swine producers to get nutritional products, but he felt like there wasn't a lot of technical service and support to really help them with production. So he formed an organization that delivered not only nutritional products, but also technology and know-how and production expertise to help producers. So through those beginnings, we really morphed into how do we grow and serve more of agriculture, serve more of food production. And through a really robust investment in R&D, the organization grew to serve both not only swine producers, but also poultry and the dairy markets. And then we really grew from a nutritional organization to really an animal health and functional nutrition group. And that's really where we are today. And not only with our still the core of our business and in supporting and supplying U.S. swine producers with nutritional products and know-how, but we really market functional feed additives and animal health products around the world to global producers in swine and poultry and dairy cattle.
So 1956, that means you've got a pretty big birthday coming up here, right?
Yes. We'll celebrate our 70th year and really looking forward to looking back at all the people that helped made the progress that we've made over the years possible and celebrate the organization and most importantly, the producers that we've partnered with and the success they've had and the growth that we've enjoyed together. So yeah, it's a big year for United.
It says a lot about a company when you can be, you know, in business that long. I mean, they're a different time. It's impressive, you know, and in this climate in this day and age, it's very good. So when you examine the animal health and the nutrition landscape as it exists today, Trent, what do you see as unique challenges that you're all trying to get ahead of or some emerging issues that you're trying to get ahead of at United Animal Health?
Yeah, I think when you look at animal agriculture, you know, we're trying to feed a growing population and a growing demand for protein. And, you know, there's some pretty unique challenges in that. How do we do that in a responsible manner, balancing with the needs of maintaining a healthy planet and a healthy human population and also supplying them food? And I think disease pressure continues to grow, particularly when you look at a lot of in the news, avian influenza in the poultry population globally is certainly affecting us. The PRRS virus in the swine market is really continues to challenge producers, and we don't have a lot of really great solutions available to manage that. So I think those are pretty unique challenges in those markets. The dairy world is really at a unique intersection right now. And for years, when you went in the dairy cattle business, you went in to produce milk, and that was what you made your money off was milk production. But you look at that market today, and some of the most valuable things from dairy producers are the bull calves, because the demand for beef is so high, and that used to be sort of a byproduct where dairy producers would lose money on. Now they're making more money selling those calves into beef production than any part of their business. And then also, you look with the demand for protein and some of the LGP1s and different things, dairy proteins are in high demand. So the byproduct of the cheese making process, you know, whey protein isolates, whey protein concentrates are at an all-time high in demand. And that's where a lot of dairy producers are making their money. So it's a shift in that market. And we're trying to help those producers not just produce pounds of milk, but produce, you know, a product that fits where a lot of the profits are today.
You know, in agriculture today, we can look at row crop producers and some of the issues that they've been facing. But here recently, things haven't been too bad for the livestock sector. What are some of the conversations like right now with producers? Are they optimistic? They feeling in a good place right now?
Yeah, you know, I think access to markets is a big thing. You know, there's a lot about how, where are my products going to be able to flow? Am I going to have access to key markets around the world is certainly a concern among livestock producers. I think continuing to gain efficiencies, you know, when you look at today and you look, beef cattle is the exception, but you look at milk prices, you look at poultry prices, you look at pork prices, or at least what they're paying for them at the processor level is about the same as they've been for several years. So trying to gain efficiencies through technologies continues to be paramount in producers' hands and those technologies. And more, how do you validate those technologies? It's not just enough to bring a technology that you've shown in your own environment or in university or research, but how do you validate that with the producer and partner with the producer so that they can look at it in their system and do an evaluation of the value and making sure they can capture that value in their system.
United Animal Health, it places a deep emphasis on applied research. You have one of the most extensive swine research facilities in the world. How has that investment and kind of moving into that space defined you as a company? How does it differentiate you from others in the market?
Yeah, it's a great question. And you look back at our history, a really pivotal moment in our time was 1972. John Swisher risked half his own personal net worth and half the net worth of the company to build our first research farm. And why he did that is because he felt a real deep commitment that we need to validate products, we need to validate formulations in our own facilities before we take them out and into producers and prove them on our own. And that was a great model, but it's really evolved past that. And now it's not just a good enough to be able to do some validation on those products, but how do we develop products? And that model of having those great commercial scale research facilities that weren't single, two or three pigs in a pen like a university farm, but really a farm set up to do research, but on a scale of a commercial facility. We paired that with building really good lab facilities and being able to do in vitro research, be able to prove that research up front, those products, how do they react in a test tube, be able to really validate and sort through some of those before they go into large scale animal trials. And that's been a big evolution. And then as we also evolved in the market, being able to do the same type of poultry trials. And now we have really state-of-the-art poultry facilities. Some here in Indiana, we also have a large-scale commercial facility we use in Georgia for research. It's built on a commercial scale. We also have a dairy facility here and calf facility to be able to do research on those calves. And it's really been helpful in guiding us to work with our producer partners, provide them solutions, validate those solutions. But I think one of the real differentiations for us in those research facilities, and when you look across big pharma, you look across some of our competitors, they used to have a lot of research, but those are publicly traded entities. And with pressure of meeting quarterly financial commitments, it's hard to operate research. And they've moved to more of an external research model. And we've kept that internal. And I think because of our ownership and being able to be privately held has allowed us to do that. And one of the unique features is when you look at innovation today, it's coming from entrepreneurs and people with an idea. It's coming out of the university environment. And they need the ability to scale up and quantify those innovations. So we can come to them with not only, hey, well, we'll invest capital in this innovation, but we also have the research facilities to start at the lab, take them to small scale trials, and then take them to really large commercial scale trials. And really no one else out there in the industry can offer that. So it really positions us uniquely to work with innovators and work with startups and new technologies to get them to market and provide not only capital, but a really important asset for them to prove out their innovation.
When we talk about innovation, you know, technology at the forefront of a lot of it. What technologies in animal health and nutrition do you feel are the biggest opportunities or for transformational change? I mean, there's a lot of technology out there, Trent.
Yeah, that's a great question. There are some really exciting things. And I think as we have moved away from using antibiotics in livestock production, it's really had to open our eyes to how can we help manage health, increase performance in livestock production. And I think it's really starting to open the doors to some exciting new technologies. And we've been in the probiotic DFM space for a long time. We have a division of our company called Microbial Discovery Group, where we actually identify, do all the research to identify positive microbials that we can then produce, and we have fermentation there, and we can really from start to finish produce our own microbial products. And as we've replaced antibiotics, having that ability to not necessarily kill the pathogen, but outcompete the pathogen with good microbes and good bugs has been really important to us. And that's been fundamental to our growth globally. But now I think we're on the precipice of a really new era in microbials, and that we can now edit those. And we can look at those very specifically and not just outcompete the bad bugs with good bugs, but actually edit those good bugs, and they can actually go in and target some of those pathogens and be very specific, not broad, but how can we target by being able to understand the genome, understand some of those biological components, and be able to really do more than outcompete them, but actually target and eliminate pathogens like E. coli, Clostridium, Salmonella, and the like. But also, I think another exciting is bacteriophage, and being able to, in a more natural way, take a biological organism and that also targets a bad bug or a pathogen and be able to eliminate those. So we're coming much more targeted in how we take these biological solutions that aren't antibiotics, they aren't large molecules, they're naturally occurring, and be able to engineer or focus those, and being able to really control a lot of the pathogens that are inhibiting livestock production around the globe.
One Health. We've talked about it a lot on this podcast. It's a hot topic outside of this podcast. When we return, the intersection of animal health and human health. We'll talk with Trent about that next after this break. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
We're back on Ag Bioscience, and Trent, we touched on it here before the break. One Health. This isn't just a buzzword. This is something that really is connecting with some people. And I guess what we need to figure out is, how do you at United Animal Health think about this One Health initiative? What is the relationship between animal health and human health?
Yeah, I think for us, it started many years ago before One Health was even a term and before we were even intentionally doing it. But, you really go back into the 90s. The first feed additive that we took through FDA approval was a compound called Optifos, which was a phytase enzyme, which actually made the phosphorus that's in small grains available to a monogastric, a pig or a chicken, so that they could actually fulfill their phosphorus needs through the phosphorus that was in the grain that had been previously bound and unavailable to them. So we were supplementing inorganic phosphates into a diet for both pigs and poultry to satisfy those needs. But then the phosphorus that was already in the grain was going into the pit, going into the affluent, and then being applied at much too high levels onto crop ground. So we weren't really producing the right type of nutrients to grow crops with the waste from animal products. So by being able to supplement Optifos in the diet, that freed up the phosphorus that was in those grains, and then we did not have near as much phosphorus going into the waste products, and created a much more environmentally friendly product that didn't lead to phosphorus buildup in the ground, and it actually gave a nutrient profile for the animal waste that the crop producer needed and that the plant could take up and utilize rather than staying in the earth. And so I think that was the beginning of our One Health and thinking about how do we assist livestock producers and being good stewards of the environment, being in balance with both animal agriculture, plant agriculture, and humans is really where it started for us. And then I think soon after that, we got into probiotics to say, well, hey, we see a day where antibiotics aren't going to be able to use as freely. And also they just quit working over time. So that was when we founded our microbial discovery group to look for probiotic solutions and microbial solutions to keep animals healthy and keep them growing, which is a much better way to do that, that doesn't utilize antibiotics and also, you know, keeps that relationship between animals and humans in balance so that we're not, you know, creating antibiotic resistance and creating human health problems. So I think that's where it really started for us. And that quest continues today to be able to put that balance together and help producers really quantify the things they're doing, because it's also, you know, our producer partners are being held accountable. So how do we not only provide them solutions, but then help them tell the story of how they are doing things in a way that's having a lighter footprint on the planet, that's also really, you know, in a good relationship with the human population, and thinking about this all as we try to feed the world as one health and one system that needs to be in balance.
Well, you know, we've gone back and we've talked about that. You know, you guys are 70 years old now.
Yes.
Not you. You're not 70. Not quite.
But I'm closing in, but
I'm glad,
quite.
You know, yeah. You get that age. Yeah. You remember all that stuff. But what about the future?
Yeah.
What about the future here, Trent, as we look forward? What are some of the biggest untapped opportunities for this one health initiative for a company like yours?
Yeah. You know, I think one big untapped and need is really environment. You know, we talk about the methane and the different gas production of livestock production. So how do we really help keep the environment in balance with livestock production? And, you know, I think there's a lot of solutions on the microbial side that are not only helping animals stay healthy and grow, but also really can help improve the environment, help reduce gases produced, help make sure that as animals and humans live closer together, that can also prevent some of the zoonotic transfer of disease between humans and animals. So I think there's a lot of untapped knowledge and understanding and how we use some of these naturally occurring microbials to really improve one health and health across the animals and humans.
Trent, let's talk about digital tools.
Yes.
Let's talk about AI. Mm-hmm. AI, the other AI, the technology AI. It's kind of taking over in a lot of spaces. I'm sure Darren, our video guy here, could probably, you know, use AI and turn us both into like Whitney Houston here or something. I mean, there are so many things you can do.
At least
make
me look better looking.
Can you do that? My goodness. With AI being such kind of an unused space in a lot of things, and other digital tools on the farm and in this space, how does that work into what you're doing at United Animal Health? What types of things are you using AI or those types of things for?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's really lots of opportunities with AI, particularly in organizations committed to research. And, you know, I think one of the things that we've done is we've built here in Central Indiana on one of our swine research farms what we call the Barn of the Future. And we developed a technology with partners called Leo Precision Farming. And that's a tag that goes in an animal and it records individual animal performance. So as that animal's moving around, we have sensors in the building. We know when the animal's moving around. We know when they're eating. If you also have scales and you have that ID tech scales, you know, it'll record the weights of those animals. And then what we've also done is we've loaded those barns with cameras. So we're monitoring, we're taking images of them, using AI models to estimate what the weights of those animals are and what production characteristics. And what we've been able to do is really also predict health challenges by having those barns and sensors with cameras, and that AI can look at patterns and movement of those animals and say, hey, Things are changing. You might want to look. Is there a pathogen challenge? Is there a disease challenge? So there's all kinds of great opportunities on the production level. But then I think when we take that to a research environment, you know, we've been able to harness AI to screen strains. When you're looking at enzymes and microbial populations and trying to look for different traits to actually identify those and then actually potentially harness their power in production, a human researcher can only screen so many strains. But when you can pair artificial intelligence with a good researcher, it's really a powerful tool. And we can screen more strains. And we've been doing that, particularly on our enzyme side, to be able to look at different compounds out there and predict what capacities those enzymes might have. So I think it really empowers research. And, you know, I think one of the fascinating things you hear a lot about, oh, you know, it's eliminating jobs and what jobs are going to exist. But what we found is with our experience with AI so far, it really makes the human researcher more powerful. It makes the producer more powerful. And they really need to work together. And if you can work together and harness that ability to look at data and analyze and build models with the intuitiveness of good human people at the production level and at the research level, the opportunities are limitless. And I think we're going to continue to really open up new solutions, new innovations that go back into One Health, that are more natural and make a lighter impact on the planet. And we can find those things through the assistance of AI and be able to commercialize those at a much faster rate.
It's enhancing, not taking over. I think that that's a good way to look at it, because no one wants it to take over.
No one wants it to take over.
We don't need to take over right now. Across the ag bioscience sector, something I've always found very interesting, the partnerships, the collaboration between companies, between folks within the sector, it's great. I think it's better in this sector than among many others. Can you talk about your company's approach to collaboration? What type of joint ventures you partake in, and kind of what's best? How do you balance what's best to focus on internally versus in tandem with someone else?
Partnerships are at the heart of the culture of United Animal Health. And John Swisher really made that abundantly clear to everybody. He wanted to be partners. And that was through our relationship with our customers early on. We didn't view them as customers. We wanted to be partners with them. We wanted to help them make decisions. We wanted to bring information. So that culture of partnership started in the early days in how we interacted with our customers. And then it moved as we had to develop products and grow and innovate, really looking at the landscape and finding innovators, finding ideas that were out there. And instead of just trying to copy that or buy it, how can we have partnership? How can we be stronger together? And so I think that foundation and culture that we can be stronger together, we can have a really unique collaboration, which John always talked about and really wanted to be fundamental to our organization, has really helped us grow. And I think you look at a couple examples, it's really the two sister companies that we have. So if you look at United Animal Health as the parent company and the organization that really markets all of our animal health and nutrition products globally, but then we've also, through these partnerships, established Microbial Discovery Group, which we've talked about a little bit, which is our organization that really discovers, develops, scales up, and produces all of our probiotics. And also, to really scale that organization, we found out, hey, we need to make it a little larger. We need to make products and fermentation for other markets. So we also began to make human products there and serve the human market with microbials, plant biologicals. We do custom firm and then fermentation. And then we also market products for industrial cleaning applications and wastewater. So that really grew out of a small partnership with an innovative inventor and entrepreneur into a big part of our company today. And I think about a third of our employees are actually employed now in the Microbial Discovery Group in serving the markets that we do there. And then the third leg of our company is one we call Pivotal Ingredients. And, you know, we've for a long time seen the value of dairy byproducts like whey protein protein concentrate and whey protein isolates, not just being high quality protein sources for animals, but also having a lot of really unique micronutrient compounds that build immune responses in young animals and increase their vitality and their health and their production level. So we, again, through a partnership with a really innovative group, we established Pivotal Ingredients. And that started as a partnership, and now that is a sister company that we have in the organization. And we not only identify and work with suppliers to idealize and make ideal blends, because all those dairy byproducts are not the same. So you really have to do a deep understanding of those to understand how they respond nutritionally, other health benefits they might have. So now Pivotal Ingredients is serving the human market in areas like sports nutrition, protein supplements, the different energy bars and protein bars. And we're going out and being able to source and work with some of the producers to be able to deliver those products. So we've taken that from animals to humans. And really, again, kind of going back into the One Health theme, being able to take a waste product and get more value out of it to fulfill some human nutritional needs.
What's ahead? What's coming next here for United Animal Health as we look to 2026? What are some of the big challenges that you're trying to tackle in this animal health and nutrition space?
Yeah. It's I think continuing to speed innovation and be able to be close to the producer, understand the producer's problems, and be able to deliver those solutions in a really efficient and expedient manner is really forefront and will continue to be a big part of our business. And I think, again, we talked about some of the disease pressures and challenges and staying ahead of those and bringing new innovation to the market. We also have, we hope by the end of 2026 or early 2027, we'll actually bring our first vaccine platform to the market, which is a really unique platform that is very flexible. It can move very quickly. It's really following some of the things we're seeing, that some of these viruses mutate quickly, they change quickly, they lose some of the vaccines, lose their effectiveness. And this is almost a autogenous-like model that can really look at farm-specific pathogens and develop custom vaccines at the farm level and be very flexible, that when we get some resistance or lose some effectiveness, we can change that vaccine. And so that's a really exciting technology that we look forward to bringing to the market, hopefully in about another year.
Trent, best of luck and happy birthday to United Animal Health here soon.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to celebrating our 70th year next year and celebrating with our employees and our founders and a lot of the people that have helped make this organization grow and thrive. And I think we sold in almost 40 countries last year. So to grow from a small organization in 1956, serving Indiana swine producers, to really serving the global livestock production market and also celebrating with all of our producer partners, and look forward to another 70 years. I probably won't see the next 70, but I know that it'll be full of innovation and changes and very exciting times. I really look forward to the next 10 or 15.
Hey, technology and medicine is coming a long way. You never know.
You never know.
Trent, thanks a lot. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
And that does it for this edition of Ag Bioscience. We thank you for joining us. Be sure to like, subscribe, all the things. We'd love to see you again next time here on Ag Bioscience. Until next time, be safe, be well.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovis Indiana, brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau. Produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez. Photography and design by Kaylee Verstay. Video by Darren Cooper and 1898 Creative. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, listen, and review. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience online at agrinovisindiana.com.